is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Haiti right now is in extreme distress because the U.S. is obliged, recommended all U.S. citizens leave. The U.S. has dispatched a group of Marines to guard what remains of the embassy staff. Other countries are dealing in the same fashion with the emergency. The airport has been closed. Maybe it's open again. The port has been closed. Maybe it's open again. There are gangs said to be dominating the conversation following 5,000 inmates escaping from the prison in an organized affair. The prime minister was out of the country. I believe he was in Africa negotiating for a Kenyan military presence to bring order to Port-au-Prince, the capital. However, that did not permit the prime minister to get back inside the country. He may have resigned. He may not have resigned. Turmoil. That's what we come to. So I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Gregory, I've been reading about Haiti, but not in this century, in the 20th century. The U.S. deployed Marines from 1915 to 1934, three Haitian presidents, and the Wikipedia is dryly declaring victory at the close of 1934. But here we are, 100 years from the photograph that I saw of Marines rushing up a hillside with rifles in their hands. 100 years later, and Haiti has not repaired itself. What drives the disorder? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, the unrest goes back to its unhappy beginnings before, leading up to the slave revolt of 1791 to 1804, which freed the country from French rule. So it was the French colony of Saint-Domingue, or Saint-Domingue, and it became Haiti after that. And it was only the second modern republic in the Western Hemisphere after the United States. So it was really a pioneering effort. But it has been in a state of unrest and repression ever since. So it hasn't enjoyed a moment's peace since 1804 or before. So it's really a continuation of the same thing. And it's never been resolved. The so-called victory in the 1930s really was just a pause, and you've had various degrees of stability and relative, let's say, prosperity, but some avoidance of the massive cycles of starvation, which we're now starting to see again. And unfortunately, the only periods of stability have come under fairly ruthless autocratic governor presidents such as Francoise Papadoc Duvalier and then his son Baby Doc, but Papadoc died in 71 and Baby Doc was forced out a bit later, but since then it's been just nothing but chaos. And then of course in 2001 you had the assassination of the president Jovenel Moïse, and then just a little while afterwards, you had a 7.2 magnitude earthquake, which killed thousands, and then Hurricane Grace. And then this goes on and on until these governments keep going back and forth. And then you had another president assassinated after that, and you had other earthquakes and the like. So you've got this whole cycle of disaster. The international community has, in a sense, not helped. They've poured billions of dollars into the country, most of which has been siphoned off by either foreigners or domestic gangs or leaders. And right now, you had an attempt after the interim prime minister was installed after the murder of the president. You had Dr. Ariel Henry come in as prime minister, and he's been attempting to get things under control, but he's had little success. And as you say, he was in Kenya negotiating for Kenyan police to come over to assist the Haitian police in suppressing these groups. But what we see with Haiti in particular is that it becomes a black hole of where there is no law and order in a large part of the country, and now entirely throughout the country. And this is exploited by foreign governments and foreign criminal groups who see this as an opportunity to move things in and out of Haiti. In other words, covering the tracks. There's a huge flow of weapons into Haiti. You see the gangs armed with very, very modern small arms and light anti-tank type weapons. And you see the export of weapons out of there through into Central America. The question is, where are they getting all of these weapons? And so you know that there's foreign government involvement. The primary engagement is with Cuba, which is exploiting it, or the lead exploiter of the black hole. And you've also got the People's Republic of China saying it's there, calling for ceasefires and this and that. But you have to bear in mind that Haiti does not recognize the People's Republic of China. It recognizes the Republic of China, in other words, Taiwan. So what Beijing is attempting to do with all of this is to make sure that this government falls, so that there's no, if you like, responsible government, and that an incoming administration, whether it's emerging from the gangs or something similar, is going to recognize the People's Republic of China and give Beijing even more leverage. But right now, we see the PRC working through its presence in Cuba, and particularly through its huge embassy in Dominica, a small country which is supposedly friendly with the United States as part of the Commonwealth as well. But the reality is that Dominica's 200-strong Chinese embassy is coordinating much of the subversion and intelligence collection in the Caribbean. So this has become very widespread, and we're seeing this massive outflow, not just of legitimate refugees from Haiti, and that's been going on for many years, but it's been intensified lately. But we're now seeing a lot of plants within that refugee population, largely going into places like Nicaragua, which does not require visas. So they're basically taking in the Haitians, and they're either going from there into Mexico, or what we're seeing is that, for example, there are 15 charter flights a day as of late October last year, and that escalated until just recently when they were stopped. But they were bringing in people from Haiti into Nicaragua, and the people would just land and go straight onto buses provided by unknown groups. They were certainly not UN or government groups. And then they're taken away to be basically brought up to the US border. And so there's a clear program there, which is being manipulated by foreign governments.
I want to focus on the PRC because we've talked about Dominica before. Port-au-Prince is presented as chaotic, as dangerous. China doesn't usually prosper in an environment. Does China on the ground at Port-au-Prince, to your knowledge?
They have people there, no question about that. How they're doing it, we don't know, but in any finite degree, because frankly, you can't get any accurate intelligence there. I'm getting photos and videos out of the Port-au-Prince and other parts of the country, but it's we know that they are causing certain things to happen there and are benefiting from the onflow into South and Central America.
There was an emergency meeting in Jamaica some days ago. Yes. Secretary Blinken of the United States attended, so did the president of Guyana, and they were discussing what is to be done. But it's been clear to me, reading the episodes in the 20th century, let alone that you illustrated the 21st, that an enormous amount of money has been poured in there, and it doesn't change the circumstances. We go from catastrophe to catastrophe. Is China putting money in? Is anybody putting money in, or are they looking to do this without a big investment, because they have no government right now to persuade?
Oh, that's right. I mean, I think the formal flow of cash from the PRC into projects in Haiti that's finished for the time being. And I think it's going into covert operations. Secretary Blinken, when he was at that recent CARICOM meeting in Jamaica basically said the US would put in another $100 million worth of aid. How they intend to put it in and distribute
the aid. They can't deliver it, Gregory. The gangs are in charge of the port facility.
Sure. Well, they were after the last earthquake, and ostensibly the Clinton Foundation was taking control of that and making sure that the aid was going in. But it certainly did not go in because the results were palpable. There was no aid improving the situation, and that's been the case ever since. So we saw private individuals and governments and corporations donating literally billions of dollars, and that evaporated, strangely enough. And so, we're not seeing the positive results of that. So basically, it's a money laundering operation for a lot of people as well.
Dominica is a Chinese operation. It's been in place for several years.
Correct.
And are they looking at Haiti as an acquisition, as an advantage? Because I understood that Dominica was well-placed to make to make the Gulf a beachhead for China.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you could say at this stage that virtually all of the small Caribbean states are beachheads for the PRC.
Okay.
The U.S. has lost influence almost throughout the Caribbean now, and Dominica is a classic case. Essentially, if the U.S. is going to do something, it better start rethinking the situation. It began to do that, if you like, with Southern Command reevaluating the situation between Venezuela and Guyana just recently. But it's going to have to do a lot more than that if it's to recover any ground. Right now, basically, Beijing rules the entire Caribbean basin, and that has given a space for Iran to also operate, and Russia in various ways. But the PRC is the big presence. And Cuba itself attempts to assert its position because it has the most professional intelligence operations in the Caribbean basin with the DI, Dirección de Inteligencia. They are the big players because DI, which was previously known as DGI, were the big action groups during the Cold War working on behalf of the Soviet Union, and now they're operating on their own behalf and on behalf of the PRC.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. Lawfare next. I'm John Batchelor.